Arg! Ahoy there, matey! Welcome aboard the world of boating.
Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
The radio show devoted exclusively to the boating lifestyle.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
Brought to you by worldofboating.com, your internet portal for the boating enthusiast.
I was just looking into buying a boat of my own.
Call World of Boating toll-free now at 1-888-28-BOAT. That's 1-888-828-BOAT.
And welcome. This is the World of Boating. Greg, your first mate, Barry the Boater, Mike the Mariner rounding out the crew this week as we navigate the latest boating news and information. Captain Patrick on hiatus. No, there are no rumors, or we're not going to start him, that he was at the helm of that barge or ship that crashed into the into the bridge in Baltimore. It was not Captain Patrick, and he's not been thrown in the brig, just for the record.
No, he wasn't on. It's a ship.
Yeah. Well, regardless, it's purely coincidence that he's not here today. I don't want people to connect those dots.
May be part of the investigation team.
Well,
quiet.
We don't want to start that kind of rumor and innuendo.
Oh, okay.
Not
in my endo,
at least. But we're going to talk about that quite a bit today, because obviously that is a major media story that I think all of us as boating enthusiasts can relate to a little bit more, even than the general public. So we're going to get to that in just a bit. But before we do, we got to talk about me.
Of course.
Because that's just what we do. I mean,
of Greg.
Yeah.
Yeah, didn't we have that on the agenda? That was the agenda you sent out earlier today, right?
Yeah. Let's see. I mean, I actually spent some time up in the Big Apple last week. Since last week's show, I've done a lot, actually, and had some boating excursions up there around the Hudson River. It was pretty cool. I was looking out for that, by the way, that barge that the two guys from Saturday Night Live trying to, they're refurbishing a ferry that they bought for, like, I don't know, $250,000 that they hope to turn into some kind of floating, nightclub. I was looking for that on the waterfront there up in New York, but I didn't see it, so I don't know where they got it.
You had to look under the water.
I don't think so. It's still floating.
It didn't sink yet, right?
It's still floating?
No, it's still floating. And the project's underway. They supposedly have a budget of like $34 million to renovate.
That sounds like a great investment.
That's a budget, but how much do they actually have for that budget?
Well, I don't know. But, they're investors. It's Colin Jost and who's the other? The Pete Davidson.
Have they started a GoFundMe page on that one?
Yeah, probably. I don't know. I mean, but they're investors in this. And, Patrick was poo-pooing this out from day one, saying this is a terrible idea. But I don't know. I read an article that said that the hull of that ferry is actually in very good shape, and they're planning to gut it. If they got, $35 million, I mean, they could put whatever they want on this thing, couldn't they? If they have a good hull, why not?
Build a whole new one for $35
million. Well, maybe. I don't know. For some reason, they thought it'd be a good idea. I mean, there's it's the John F. Kennedy Ferry or something like that. So maybe there's, some historic elements they hope to play off of. I don't know. But God knows the demand is there for, entertainment up in New York. I mean, I was up there. The place was popping. And I don't mean by, gunfire, even though that could be part of the stuff going on too. It was better my last trip to New York, I will say, and it was good.
And you did some boating?
I went along the waterfront there, and I was looking around and just cruised. Had a short cruise, the Hudson River, and it was kind of nice. It was a good visit. The weather was cooperative enough, and just barely warm enough with a big coat. So it's still a little cool up there in the Northeast. But I came back. And Monday morning, this was last week, and I reported to jury duty.
And wonderful.
Yeah. And that was not fun. And but I will say, here's the trick. I thought for sure, middle-aged white guy is not going to get picked, for the jury selection. And, so I'm playing that card, thinking like, there's no way in hell I'm going to be picked for jury. There's like 50 people. They need like 7 people or something like that, right?
Were you one of the first 7?
Well, I mean, I went through and I got picked. And sure enough. But I was like, how's this possible? And I'm like, of course. It's just impossible for me to dial down the awesome enough to make sure that, you know, I don't get picked for something like that. I got to figure that out. It's a curse, Barry. You hear what I'm saying?
One of the attorneys probably had heard this radio show once.
Well, right. That's right. Sure, hey, right.
I'm going to punish you now.
That should be automatic disqualification. But no, I got picked, and I had to serve on a jury and, convict a guy. It was
so you already rendered your verdict. Okay.
Yeah. It was a big waste of time of everything all the way around it. So I probably picked up a bug too. I'm a little under the weather today. So, I mean, I'm a little miserable this week. So, is that enough? But I'm here.
So are you sleeping in a cave now to protect your identity?
What do you mean?
Well, you know, the family may come after you now.
No, quiet.
Okay.
We can't talk about that.
Well, you are on the radio.
Yeah.
But, hundreds of thousands of people are listening.
Well, the thing that's sad is, like, I can't believe middle-aged white guy won out over, or my awesomeness overshadowed the fact that I should be totally disqualified.
Maybe they thought he was feeble-brained enough that he would have said, not guilty, whatever. Yeah.
How many times have you been called for jury duty over the years? I've been called precisely one time in my entire life.
Yeah, I've done it like once or twice before. Once a fairly long time ago. And shortly before that, I got called, I think. But it's been a long stretch. Stretch for me. And
four
then,
or five
sure
times
enough.
For me.
And, really? Wow.
Well, when I lived in Dade County, I got called more often down there than in Broward. So, and that's pain. You got to go all the way downtown Miami. I hate that.
Yeah. This was bad enough. Yeah. But, they made it as pleasant as it possibly could be. And
sure. Here's your bologna sandwich.
They didn't give a squat, actually. but regardless, they were nice. The people running everything and, they did the best they could. But even the judge came in after and just said, sorry, you guys got a dud of a case. I mean, we deliberated for all of like 2 minutes. It was so obvious and a waste of time and money. And I don't know, but it is what it is. So, I got through it and I'm ready for the show and I'm here, and probably about 80%. Because like I said, I probably picked up a bug doing this too. But enough about me. Well, I'll probably circle back at some point.
You don't have to.
I just thought I'd want to get it out there,
So, yeah, we can talk about Captain Patrick. He's not here.
Well, I'm sure that'll come up at some point. But once again, we kind of already did. We threw him under the bus or under the bridge. Saying he's not here today, but I just want to get it out there that he has nothing to do with. He was not on the boat. And nothing to do with that
ship.
Ship that crashed into the bridge. Now, obviously, I'm kidding a little bit, but that is a tragic situation.
Yes,
and it is unfortunate. It is kind of crazy when you saw the coverage of this, though, and you see how vulnerable we are for something like that. To see how serious something is, as simple as losing power on a ship like that could take out an entire bridge.
They hit it in the right spot, but we had something similar in Tampa years ago. You remember that?
Yeah, I remember.
The Skyway Bridge was hit by.
Did it take it out the whole way?
It took out half the bridge. Yeah,
yeah. I don't.
It took out a big one major span. Took one major span out, and if you look at the bridge, the way it was reconstructed, it has what they call dolphins, but they're basically great big cement plug discs in the water, probably 30 to 40 yards across in front of and on both sides of the bollards,
the pylons, or whatever.
So it would be next to impossible for a ship to hit the existing Skyway Bridge, the new one.
Unless the bow stuck out far enough, which is what I think this particular ship did up there, is that if you look at it, there wasn't that concrete all around those support beams.
That bridge did not have those dolphins.
Well, we're going to talk about that incident and what you can learn from it as a boater on a much smaller scale next on The World of Boating. Stay close.
You're listening to the World of Boating Radio Network.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Even Keatley wasn't ready for me or anything that followed. Chased by a police department led by his ex-girlfriend and hunted by brain fork-wielding Fijian assassins, it's everything he can do to keep from getting locked up, killed, or worse. Kava Screw is available as an ebook for $2.99 at Amazon.com. Kava Screw. Put a brain fork in him. He's done.
Hosting a radio show about scuba diving and boating is one of the best gigs on the planet. It's actually part of my job to check out and report on cool new products I personally use to enhance my diving and boating adventures. However, I do believe in sharing the joy, and this is why we've added Nanook protective hard cases to our list of products you can now purchase on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Nanook cases are designed to protect the most sensitive equipment in the harshest environments. Underwater photographers, listen up. From their high-impact NK7 resin to their exclusive power claw latches, Nanook has raised the bar for those of you that demand the best protection for your gear. Plus, Nanook protective cases cost less than similar products currently on the market. The company has been around for over 15 years, but it's new to the U.S., so we've made a small number of Nanook cases available exclusively for you at a special introductory price on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Go there now and check out Nanook, the evolution of protection.
Successfully navigated the Sea of Commerce and now are clear to cruise with the World of Boating.
I do like the water.
The radio show devoted exclusively to the boating lifestyle.
The sun, the sea air, good friends.
Brought to you by worldofboating.com, your internet portal for the boating enthusiast.
I'm really excited to check out these beautiful waters with you in a really cool way.
All right.
See that boat over there?
Yeah.
I think we're going to sail on it today.
Oh, my God. Yes.
This is the World of Boating. Greg, your first mate.
There we go.
Barry the boater. Mike the mariner. Celebrating together the end, the finale of The Bachelor.
No,
he did find love. Came down to the two final ladies. I thought they were going to, I'm sure you're right there with me, Barry, at the end there. I thought, hey, this is going to be the first time they end with a proposal to both ladies. It was going to be like two ladies, one guy. That's what they were kind of setting it up for. It's like, there's a big twist at the end. He's going to propose to both, and they're going to be a three-way crazy thing. But no, he settled on one, so.
You have strange dreams at night, don't you?
No, you were right there with me. You were like, oh my gosh, this is going to be awesome.
So but this is that much. Ancient Bachelor one, right? The old guy?
No, this isn't. That was like a season ago.
He died?
What?
No, he's still alive. Okay.
What
he's
is wrong with you, okay. Barry? Gee whiz. No, it's just the regular Bachelor.
Well, you know, after the marriage and the honeymoon, he might have.
Well, yeah.
You know, clear. Okay. The ticker going again.
I don't know. Barry's focused
B-fib.
On other things and wishful thinking for the series of The Bachelor.
When the moment is right, take the blue pill.
Okay. All right. If you say so. That sounds.
Is that why you're wearing a blue shirt?
Way to make it awkward, Barry. Okay. So, look, we're talking about this ship that crashed into the bridge in Baltimore. You know, there are some preliminary reports. You know, obviously it lost power, lost steerage, and we're going to talk about that and maybe how to apply that to your personal boating experiences, you know, on a much smaller vessel. Because kind of what happened is not that uncommon just for boating, you know, folks out on the water. And, you know, we want to discuss that. But one of the preliminary things of why the ship may have lost power, one of the theories out there is that it might have had bad gas. And it's been a problem, evidently, that's plagued the cargo ship you know, carriers for some time now, like where they get bad gas over in China or someplace and it's contaminated. And at some point it fouls the systems and they lose power. And that's one of the theories that the NTSB are going to be looking into. It's going to take them, God knows, probably a year to figure it out. Well, but
first of all, it isn't gas. It's probably diesel. Okay.
Yeah. Well, okay. Whatever. Fuel.
It's a form of. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And also, you did see, just before it happened, a lot of black, thick smoke, like it was running really rich.
Yeah.
Something was burning.
So the issue there, I think, is that when the plant shut down, see, these are, you know, the diesel engines are not directly connected to the prop shafts. It's a generator.
Right. Okay. Basically. So this is electric propulsion.
Diesel electric, right?
Yeah.
And what happened is when they lost power, they then restarted the engine and they got it going. And of course, it was under full load because they had called for full reverse thrust.
Right.
You know, all those things were happening all at the same time. Mm-hmm. So that's what you're up against. And when you saw that, you'll see that happen when a ship is underway. You'll see a puff of black smoke come out of the plant just because things are changing loads and mm-hmm. the generator's under a higher load.
Fairly common when you start up a diesel, it's going to puff out mm-hmm. the first second.
If you're going to start it up, but that's right. The other thing. If this ship was coming in to offload, that means it had to have traveled across the ocean somewhere. It was already burning that fuel. Why did it all of a sudden happen?
It was actually leaving.
Yeah, port. It was leaving port. Was, I thought.
So
yeah,
would it have gotten fuel here?
No, it said no. Said the according to at least one article I saw that the last time they have it tracked as getting fuel was overseas. And okay. Hadn't gotten any fuel. But I mean, any it's very preliminary. We don't know for sure. So there's a lot of this is speculation at this point. But one of the theories is, and this is based on some ongoing reporting that I saw in this one particular article, said that this has plagued the cargo ship industry for some time now, where they've been getting contaminated fuel and it's been causing problems, mm-hmm. especially for some time, and it hasn't been a big issue because usually when it creates a problem, you know, they're out in the middle of the ocean someplace. They lose power, okay, and they're out there floating. Yeah. It's not a big deal. Of course, it happens at an inopportune moment when you're trying to leave port and you're in a busy waterway. Right. That's a different ball game, and that seems to be obviously what happened in this case.
Right. So they call it bunker fuel, and it's not – clean diesel like you're putting in your F-250, you know, at the racetrack gas station. This is bunker fuel that is probably the lowest grade fuel because of its volume that you can find on Earth for any given use. And it's used a lot in power plants and, you know, shipping and all that, but it's probably loosely based on diesel fuel. It's a fuel oil kerosene based kind of a thing, but it also has waste in it, like waste oil, waste solvents from the refining process. It's basically
the cheapest stuff you could get.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you think about it.
Yeah.
Right. And what basically it's the worst fuel you can get. And they basically use the shipping industry to dispose of the waste of the refining process for the bottom of the barrel fuels.
Yeah.
Right. For the fuels we use for cars and trucks.
Well, that kind of makes, here's a theory to throw out there. I mean, Barry was talking about this before the show. It was like, well, if it was contaminated fuel, wouldn't it have been a problem if it had traveled across seas? But maybe as it ate up the fuel throughout the trip and then it got into port and they're running on, you know, the last quarter tank or whatever where all the gunk and crap is settled, or, you know, who knows?
Yeah. I mean, they'll go to two or three different locations before they have to refuel, and they'll plan ahead. They may have gone to Baltimore, then they were going to go to Jacksonville, maybe somewhere in the Bahamas, and then they would, you know, maybe somewhere down in the Caribbean, and that's where they're going to go bunker. They call it bunkering.
You don't really know whether, first of all, there are fuel pickups down at the bottom, or do they float on the top? So, you know, fuels versus water or other contaminants will separate into layers.
Mm-hmm.
So people always talk about, oh, I got bad gas. That's why my car's running poorly. That could be because the water would settle on the bottom. The gas would be on top.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying.
Right away.
Possible,
but this, yeah. The ship still had to come over here.
Right.
It did.
It traveled across. I saw the track, and it traveled quite mm-hmm. a ways over from Asia. And
right.
It filled up in, you know, over there in China or someplace. And at least according to this one track, it had not fueled up again since. And then once they got into Baltimore and they loaded up, they had, you know, if they didn't take any fuel, were they running on, you know, the last bits of what they had in there? And
why would you do that? Because then you're going to be out in the ocean again.
Well, I don't know. I don't know where they were going. I'm just saying this is a theory. We don't know.
Yeah.
It's all speculation. But it is a problem. The contaminated fuel, this isn't, you know, this has been an ongoing issue, at least according to this one article. So we'll find out soon enough if it holds any, you know, if it pans out. All right. More coming up. Stay close.
You're listening to the World of Boating Radio Network.
Traffic sucks, unless you're scuba diving with Mike Scott.
Mike glanced down at his dive computer. It showed less than 50 PSI left in his tank. Probably just a few more breaths.
Or riding shotgun in a thrilling car chase.
One bullet hit the Jeep's windshield, spiderwebbing the passenger side. Mike shifted into second gear and felt the Jeep leap forward. This just got serious.
Escape your commute with audiobooks from author Eric Douglas. Download to your phone. Go to booksbyeric.com or audible.com.
Do you have a message or product you need to share with the boating world? Well, look no further than the World of Boating Radio Show. Just like you, thousands of boating enthusiasts are hearing this message, and we could be talking about you and your product or service as early as next Saturday. Remember, a terrible thing happens when you don't advertise. Nothing. Go to worldofboating.com, send us an email, and let's get to work to make your marketing message matter.
You have successfully navigated the Sea of Commerce. And now are clear to cruise with the World of Boating.
I do like the one.
The radio show devoted exclusively to the boating lifestyle.
The sun, the sea air, good friends.
Brought to you by worldofboating.com, your internet portal for the boating enthusiast.
The word ship is hidden inside the word leadership as its derivation. So, if this office is in fact a ship, as its leader, I am the captain. But we're all in the same boat.
Aye, aye, Captain.
Captain, please, can you see my fire? Message in a bottle, starboard side.
This is the World of Boating. Greg, your first mate, Barry the Boater, Mike the Mariner, rounding out the crew. All right, so we're talking about the barge crashed into the bridge there in Baltimore. One of the working theories at the moment, and this is from a story from NBC News, by the way, and they tracked the satellite information of the ship before it got to Baltimore, and it got fuel in China and South Korea. And one of the working theories is maybe it got contaminated fuel, which evidently has plagued the cargo ship industry over the last few years. And, you know, not normally a problem if it happens when you're out in the open ocean. But, of course, in a situation like they were in Baltimore, you lose power and you have mm-hmm. no control of a big ship like that. And it crashes into a bridge. You have this tragedy that we've had. So, you know, I mean, the lesson, you know, we'll find out whether the NTSB, you know, tracks down and finds out that it was, you know, contaminated fuel that caused them to lose power of the engines and then lose control. We don't know. It's very much speculation right now, but they were basically saying that, yeah, the fuel coming from overseas and China and Asia is not necessarily up to the standards in other places in the world or whatever, or they're a little loose more in that gunk that can get in the fuel. You think, Mike? Do you think?
Well, that can happen anywhere. It's probably the most inconsistent fuel source on Earth.
Yeah.
And you could be getting fuel in New Orleans and it would be just as bad. I mean, mm-hmm.
Well, how do you keep that, like in the boat you have now? I mean, like you said, I mean, I've had friends, you know, get contaminated fuel in their cars, or obviously can happen to boats just as easily. Is there anything you do? Do you only buy your fuel, for instance, from a reputable brand or something at the dock? Or how do you look at that kind of stuff?
Yeah, well, I mean, any marina, the fuel standards in the United States for a commercial vessel is completely different than what I use. So
right.
I'm using basically marine grade diesel, which is the same grade as what you would put in your F-250. So it's high quality diesel fuel.
Right.
It's the same, but it is marine and farm. So you can't put it in your vehicle. It's for boats and machinery only. So,
but is there anything you do personally to make sure that, or like taking a next step up, like, well, I'm not going to buy my fuel from this source, I'll get it here? Or is it pretty much across the board where you are?
I use the same fuel source when I'm in the local area, but when I'm on a trip, if I'm going up to Georgia or up the Eastern Seaboard, I will pick different marinas that I know have good diesel. Of course, I'm not going to pull into
Fred's bait shop.
right.
And then right.
Exactly.
What do you think, Barry?
What about fuel that you put in good fuel, but over time it deteriorates? You say I understand that bacteria can grow in it. You can buy chemicals to add to the fuel.
Like stabilizer
in my gas fuel systems, but diesels seem to be really prone to critters growing in this stuff.
Really?
Right. Absolutely.
Like what kind of critters are we talking about? What do you mean?
Algae.
Different
algae.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
Right. And I guess the best defense against that is frequent use. So I'd never have diesel in my tanks long enough for that to occur.
Yeah.
I do add additives to my diesel, but I use the boat enough that doesn't
keep it fresh. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I have a problem.
Yeah, my fuel filters look brand new.
Yeah. And, I mean, I've had the bad fuel thing in my lawnmower many times, actually, because, you know, here in Florida, we get a break during the winter months where we don't have to mow. Not like they do up north, but man, you know, if you haven't stored it properly and you leave that gas hanging around long enough and don't put stabilizer in it, you're stuck. Yeah,
I can't believe that you actually push a mower. But I had
what?
I wanted
what is that supposed to mean?
To ask another question. Has anyone heard if I know they captain or someone sounded Mayday? I know that they said alarms went off. Does anyone know if the ship actually blew its horn? Was it hanging on that horn trying to get people's attentions that, hey, something's wrong?
Well, they did get the Mayday out there early
enough. That's on a radio.
Well, yeah, and the police shut down the bridge, so there definitely was a warning that way.
They were told to shut down the bridge, but there were still people working on the bridge. If they were coming up to a bridge, did they lay on that horn like there was no tomorrow?
Right. Yeah, well, right. I don't know.
The collision collision warning. Mm-hmm. I don't know. That has not come up.
Right. I've heard that discussed.
I would think that if there was an inkling that there was going to be a collision with something, then there should have been a collision warning,
right?
An audible collision warning. It hasn't been brought up in any of the news reports that I've seen.
No, I haven't either. But you know,
that's a great question.
Yeah, I mean, and once again, I'm sure we'll find out at some point, and whether the fuel or whatever becomes a factor, we'll find out in time. But, you know, once again, I look at this incident and what can we learn from it? One of the things, make sure your fuel's good and fresh. Make sure you don't get stuck in that situation. But the main thing that it caused, whatever caused it, they lost power, which means they lost steerage and they couldn't maneuver the cargo ship, you know, away from the bridge because they had no way to do that. I mean, I heard some reports that he tried to move the rudder at the last minute or whatever to try to do some steering. But if you lose power, you lose steering. There's really nothing you can do about it. Is that right, Mike?
Yeah, absolutely. At that point, it was like storming the gates of hell with a squirt gun.
Yeah.
When you have no thrust, your rudder authority goes down exponentially. So that's why they were trying to speed the ship up to 8 to 10 knots. You need that speed to be able to control the vessel.
Yeah.
If he did full rudder to port after the power loss and the ship was already predisposed to making a right turn in preparation for going under the bridge, then it would just continue to, a ship that heavy would continue to have that momentum to the right. So,
right. And yes. I did pull up a map of that, and I could see how it was heading out to this huge bay, which I guess is that takes them somewhere down. They end up heading south to the Chesapeake, and somewhere they exit. But the point was is that now I understand why he was to the right side of the bridge. But he seemed very close. If you look at the tracks that they showed, if you follow that track, it was very close to the right-hand side of that bridge. It wasn't in the middle, and I can understand why it wasn't. There's a big power line hole there right in the middle, almost acting like the dividing line between left side and right side. But it just seemed like he was too far over to the right. But if you look at it, he had to turn to the left eventually anyhow. So maybe he was just taking it tight to the right, and then he would have enough room to turn to the left. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, when you lose power like that, and I've been on a boat before where we had to traverse under a bridge, you know, just an overpass down in South Florida before, and the buddy I was with, the same thing happened. He got caught in the current. And he lost control. He didn't have enough power because the current was too strong. And sure enough, he bumped right into the bridge. It wasn't massive damage. There was actually, he took out a light, you know, one of the control lights on the bridge, and had to, you know, pay for that accordingly. But I was surprised how, you know, he was dead in the water. He had no control. And it was like slow motion, like, we're going to hit this thing. Like, you know. And I was like, you know, I don't know what you do in that scenario. I mean, and that's where I want to steer this conversation here on the World of Boating today. What can you as a boater learn from this incident? Like, if you find yourself without power and you have to navigate around a hazard, that's next on the World of Boating.
You're listening to the World of Boating Radio Network. Successfully navigated the Sea of Commerce and now are clear to cruise with the World of Boating.
I do like the water.
The radio show devoted exclusively to the boating lifestyle.
The sun, the sea air, good friends.
Brought to you by worldofboating.com, your internet portal for the boating enthusiast.
Yeah, you were expecting maybe the Easter Bunny?
Here comes Peter Cottontail.
This is the World of Boating. Greg, your first mate, Captain Patrick, is not here, but we got Barry the Boater and Mike the Mariner rounding out this crew as we navigate the latest boating news and information one day before Easter. And hopefully you're going to make the best of it and get plenty of candy and celebrate accordingly. If you're a diver, Barry and I actually, we look out not for the Easter Bunny, but the Easter Eel. It's a whole diving thing. You can look it up online, Google it, Easter eel. It'll pop by. It's a real thing. I'm not just
making this. It is terrifying.
It's a real thing. And we celebrate it on our scuba radio show accordingly, as the demented divers that we are. But that's a whole nother show, whole nother issue that might require therapy. And we don't have time for that. We're talking about the bridge incident in Baltimore and what the cargo ship encountered and what you can learn from it as a boater. Now, they say they lost power and they couldn't navigate, and that's what caused them to crash into the bridge. Makes total sense in that regard, and why they lost power we'll find out soon enough, and that's we've discussed that enough. But when you find yourself on a boat, and I've had this happen to me, where we had to navigate around a overpass down in South Florida, and sure enough, the guy's boat I was on, he lost power, and the current was strong, and he slammed right into it and broke one of the marker lights, and it was a little, you know, a little freaky. I mean, but we were going pretty slow, but it was like slow motion. I was like, we're going to crash into this thing, and sure enough, we did, and it wasn't like a fast ramming or anything, and nobody was hurt, but I was like, golly, you know, you lose power like that, what can you do? Mm-hmm. What would you do, Barry? Anything?
Well, the first thing is that, because Surprise is a small, light boat.
Yeah.
There are a couple of things I do when I come up to a bridge. Number one, I look to see what the current is like, and you can see that as the water is traversing through the bridge, whether it's coming towards you or you're going with it, flowing with the current. When you're flowing with the current, it's fairly easy to cut back on power and just let it take you through, and I try to stay in the middle. All right. But when I'm going into it, you have to be willing to gun that engine a little bit to get moving, at least in my boat. I've sat in current strong enough where I could have the engine at 1800 RPM and still not go anywhere.
Wow.
You're just literally sitting one place. When you're coming up to that, you've got to tell yourself, I need to speed up a little bit. I guarantee FWC or any of the local police are not going to pull you over for something like that.
Right.
They don't want to see you flying through the bridge.
Yeah.
But they realize smaller, lighter boats are going to have a problem when the current's coming in. And then the one other thing is that if I'm behind a much larger yacht or I see a much larger yacht coming through, I will wait till they go through. Mm-hmm. If you're behind them, that water is disturbed, and that could cause you to go either to port or to starboard.
Yeah.
And if they're in front of you coming through, let them come through. Let the water settle down again and then go through, at least in my boat.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense. Mm-hmm. Mike the Mariner, what say you?
Yeah, the same same principles apply to small and large boats. Larger boats are obviously less maneuverable, but the thing you have to do is to try to maintain appropriate speed for the condition. So if you're approaching a bridge and you've got a following current, you may think, okay, I need to slow down so I don't go through the bridge too fast.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it kind of goes back to what I said earlier. When you reduce thrust, you exponentially reduce your rudder authority.
Yeah.
So even it's speed relative to the water. So if the water's moving at 4 knots, you still need to move at, you know, 6 or 7 knots more than that, right? Mm-hmm. Just to maintain rudder authority. So you might think you're flying through that bridge, but really you're going through at a safe speed.
Right.
It's kind of like flying.
Yeah,
you're
it is, very much.
And you have to look ahead at your next maneuver. That's why you should be studying your charts if you're on in a navigation situation.
Well, when you're taking off, you got to know which way the wind's blowing and compensate with your controls and all that kind of stuff. And what Barry was talking about as far as other vessels, other planes, there is a buffer zone between like a big plane taking off and letting the wind settle down its wake before you attempt to take off behind another airplane. Because same thing can happen. The you don't see it, but it's there, and they've twirled up the wind, which is just like the waves on a boat. And if you get caught in that, it can send you a loopy, and which is not good in an airplane, obviously.
But when you're in a waterway, in a marked channel, you should be planning your turns, especially in a vessel that weighs, my boat weighs 40,000 pounds. So, I have to plan my turns accordingly, because it doesn't move fast. It doesn't react quickly to input. So you want to make sure, and you certainly want to make sure that you've got a bead on incoming traffic coming the opposite direction. And before you make a turn, you're going to take a look to make sure that you're not being overtaken by another vessel. You don't want to do anything. And if you're approaching a really congested area, then you want to go ahead and do that Securité message and announce your intentions on channel 16. So when you're entering a harbor or going through a bridge that's in maybe a tight turn or whatever, if there's other traffic out there, it's always nice to say, you don't want to make it a secret. Hey, here comes Silhouette. We're coming through.
Right. Securité, Silhouette coming through.
Something like that. I hear that.
Yeah.
I've heard that in the Miami River. I hear that up at the New River, anywhere down Fort Lauderdale, at the Stranahan River. Mm-hmm. You'll hear the bigger yachts give Securité that they're coming through or underneath a bridge or something like that, so that people that have the radios on will know what's going on.
Right. Now, what about losing power, though? Have you ever had that happen to you, Mike, where you're cruising through some area and you're navigating, all of a sudden you feel like, this engine's not working and I'm screwed. What's the contingency if you lose power like that and you're trying to navigate through something like that? Is there a plan B?
So there's a couple of things. One, I have had that happen accidentally, and I got the engines started again. When you shut down diesels really quick, when you pull the throttles back really quick, you can sometimes just make them go dead.
Yeah.
And I learned that lesson. So, quickly go into neutral, get the engines back up and running again. Everything was good. But, and the pilots on that ship up in Baltimore did this. If you are in a situation where you've lost power and your steering authority is not good and you're in confined waters, drop your anchor.
Ah.
So get that anchor in the water and get your boat stationary so you can work the problem. The other thing is, let's say you're in the intercoastal waterway and maybe you don't have time to get to your anchor because typically you have a lanyard connected to your anchor. So someone's got to go out, disconnect the lanyard, and then you can drop the anchor. If you don't have time to do that, and there's a sand shoal nearby, just nose your boat into the sand shoal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not going to hurt anything. As long as it's not rocky, you're not going to hurt anything. But the boat will be stable, you'll be safe, and then you can work the problem. Yeah. So there are various things you can do to secure the vessel without major damage.
Barry, that ever happened to you or no?
No, I've never had it cut out. But what I did do last time we went out is I bought myself a push pole. So that if I had an issue with the engine cut out, I could at least go to either port or starboard side and kind of push my way wherever I was going, and then I could drop anchor.
Well, when you say push pull, what do you mean?
Like an electric motor? It's a long hook. No, a pole.
Oh.
It's a pole. I mounted to the side of the boat because we noticed going underneath or around certain shallow areas, it was better for me to shut the engine, tilt the engine up, and just push our way through.
Right. So yeah, I mean, we're talking about a 17-footer center console.
Yeah, it's a small boat, but you could still lose power and have problems like that.
Yeah.
But honestly, when I leave the dock, if the engine isn't running, if something's not quite right, if it's smoking or something like that, then I'm just going to put it back on the trailer. I am not going to push my luck with that.
Yeah. Well, there you go. I mean, there are things we can learn as boaters from these incidents that happen in the mainstream media. And maybe we've covered those at least somewhat adequately today on the World of Boating. And on that note, we're going to wrap it up. Till next time, remember, whether it's sail or motor,
life is better
as a boater.
Safe boating, everyone.
Barnacle-bitten swab!
World of Boating is brought to you by worldofboating.com, your internet portal for the boating enthusiast.
Any of this getting through to you, son?
World of Boating is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
Computer standing by.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at worldofboating.com.
Computers can do that?
So tell a friend and come aboard every week for the World of Boating.
This is so great. I can't wait. I'm getting goosebumps. Feel me.
The radio show devoted exclusively to the boating lifestyle.
TTFN, ta-ta for now.
The opinions you just heard on the World of Boating are those of the hosts, callers, and guests. They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
What are you being such a weenie for?
While on the water, your safety and the safety of many others depends on you. So boat smart and operate your vessel only after receiving the proper training and instruction for your area.
There is a fine line between genius and madness.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at worldofboating.com.